to the VIP Show podcast. This is Jose Aristimuño, bringing you the biggest names in the game of business, entrepreneurship, and life to help you level up, get inspired, and become the most successful you. You already know the VIP Show. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the VIP Show. I'm your host, Jose Aristimuño. Man, am I excited about this next guest on the show? Because one of the things that I always try to do myself in such a fast-paced world is how can I live a little slower? How can I be a little bit more present? And our next guest is going to help us do just that. His name is Charles Clay. He's a coach. He's an inner peace coach. He's a dynamic speaker, entrepreneur, and a great human being. Charles, welcome to the show, brother.
Let's go. Happy to be here.
Thank you, man. All the way from Austin, Texas, the great Charles Clay. I am in Boca Raton. How's the weather in Austin, man?
Man, sunny and hot.
I love it, man. I love it. Look, before we talk about mental health, before we talk about, you know, you speaking across the country, being an entrepreneur, being an inner peace coach, before we talk about all of that, I want to know, who was Charles Clay, the little boy, growing up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, man, going back a while, we'll start this story around like 4 years old, because I had a pretty pivotal moment then that at the time was very painful and heartbreaking, but ended up being some really powerful lessons and blessings. So 4 years old, living the life. We have a big house out in the country in Washington State. And, you know, parents were together, and my mom knelt down and told me that they were getting a divorce and that she was moving out and leaving for a while. We didn't know when we'd see her again. So this was, the beginning of the classic abandonment wound. And it was a lot to deal with as a 4 year old. You know, I think a lot of people can relate. And
of course.
So it didn't make any sense to me, but all I knew was I didn't have mom around anymore. And that was like a big part of my heart missing. And so luckily a few, you know, 6-8 months later, she met a new boyfriend, moved in with him in a little town called Preston, not too far from where we were living in Tiger Mountain. And we got to go see mom again. And this was a huge revelation for me, because as a 4 or 5 year old, you know, I got to kind of recreate myself at a young age and went across the street, made friends with a neighbor kid petting his dog, and he became my best friend. And I started a whole biker gang. You know, we were the Scorpions growing up, and
that's a cool name, man.
Yeah. Knew the woods and the trails like the back of my hand growing up. So I had some really vivid memories growing up, and just some real quality moments with my mom. We used to go to Ocean Shores every year, and I fell in love with the ocean and surfing and all that fun stuff. So fast forward, dad picked us up from baseball practice one day, and he pulled the car over, and I knew something was up. And I looked at my brother, and we listened to my dad, and he just told us that mom had died. And wow. We later found out that she took her own life because she was battling depression and alcoholism. And this was probably the most intense emotional pain I'd ever experienced. It was just felt like somebody was hitting me in the gut with a baseball bat as hard as they could over and over again. You know,
of course, so, man. And how old were you? How old were you, Charles?
At age 10.
So, wow, man.
Yeah, it was a lot to deal with. And I remember, you know, being at my mom's funeral, you know, not too long after, sitting next to my brother and trying my hardest not to cry. Mm-hmm. Because I picked up these beliefs from the older kids I hung out with that, you know, crying's for girls, this thoughts of like, can't show weakness, all this stuff that the guys pick up early on. And yeah. That was some repressed grief that, you know, was some anger that showed up later, and just took some years of unraveling that to eventually find the lessons and the blessings in it. And that's been my path from pain to purpose. And luckily, you know, I I fell in love in college and, you know, my college sweetheart, and had the fairy tale relationship with her until she ended up leaving me. And then, you know, I was heartbroken for a while, but picked up pieces, moved on. And then again, fell in love again many years after. Girlfriend left me. So there was this common denominator, and it was me. And so I really started, this is when I became more self-aware and, you know, started seeking some support and reached out to some mentors, to went on some epic, you know, meditation retreats, and discovered some important self-awareness, you know, recognizing like, wow, I was actually showing up as an immature version of me to push them away and create the same story again that I created as a four-year-old and as a 10-year-old, that love has to equal pain, that I'm not good enough to keep the one that I love around. And so these are where these
come from.
It's deep. It's deep. Yeah, because, you know, and you're an expert in this, and you've been going in this journey for so long now that, of course, you felt maybe when you were little, you know, that your mom left because of you, right? That she abandoned you because of you, and all these little, not silly, but almost silly things that are humans. We tell ourselves these crazy stories, right? And I think the mind sometimes can be our own worst, you know, critics and our own worst enemy. But that's, man, that's quite the story. And I know the community appreciates your honesty and you sharing this and being so open. And I certainly appreciate it. So through this seeking, through the self-awareness and you seeking answers, right, for your own life, is that sort of how you came into the coaching world and all that type of stuff?
Yeah. So I eventually got into men's work and, you know, was invited into a really potent, powerful container. You know, I had tons of buddies and friends, and I was kind of the guy that the glue for a lot of different types of friends from all different walks of life, bringing them together, and we would have a blast. But this was something different because it was a container where what we created a level of safety where we could actually like talk about real stuff and what we were really holding, you know. And I just had some revelations in those circles that inspired me to create some men's groups, and just saw the power of this healing work and being able to like release just years and decades of shame that we've been holding and, you know, fears, and get to express this stuff in a safe container where it can be released and we don't have to carry that weight anymore. So that really inspired me to begin some of the men's coaching, which evolved into, you know, some more of the, you know, the physical, mental, and spiritual realms. And, you know, my background's in kinesiology from Washington State University. And so I've always had this fascination with these sensory suits, you know, these these bodies that we get to call home for such a short time. And so another big initiation for me was up in Mammoth Mountain in 2008. And, you know, I'm up there snowboarding with a couple buddies. And it was like a full-on blizzard. There was snow coming every which way. It was a complete whiteout. They'd stopped the lifts, the chairlifts, because it was so dangerous up there. But we're already at the top. And so we start charging the mountain. And, you know, you could barely see a tree like 10 feet in front of you. It's like a blur. Wow. It was fun for a while. But eventually, about halfway down the mountain, I went off a jump that I didn't know was there. And I'm in midair. Freaking out because it feels like I just went off a cliff. And I remember when I hit, boy, it was like a lightning bolt just hit me in the low back. And I knew I was in big trouble because it was like a level 11 out of a 10 scale of pain. I remember screaming, yelling to my friends, hoping they could hear me, but they're in front of me and just already ripping down the mountain. And I look at my phone's dead. Wow. And I'm here in the middle of a blizzard. I can't even stand up straight. And it's in those moments, you know, that we find another gear, channel the inner Spartan warrior, and do whatever it took to flick my board off and actually sit on my board for a while and slide down as far as I could. And I'd keel over and breathe into the pain for a while. Eventually, I made it down the mountain. And then I went to see doctors, and they were giving me the bad news, you know, showing me MRIs and herniated discs and telling me that, you know, I would need surgery, maybe multiple, or I might never move the same again. Now, for someone that appreciates these human bodies, that was the worst news, you know. Even in a fight or flight state, I was able to access my intuition and choose a different path. And I chose the path of self-healing. And that wasn't an easy one. It meant, you know, sitting in my apartment in San Diego at the time, I could barely crawl to the bathroom. I was in so much pain, but I finally went to the depths of all the feelings that I was avoiding, that I recognized I was, you know, going out on the weekends, just overindulging in sex, drugs, rock and roll, all the things, seeking pleasure to avoid this pain. And that moment was really pivotal for me because I let the tears fall. I felt, you know, fear if I would ever move the same again. Shame. You know, I could barely even stand up straight, let alone get to work or do anything productive. And some of the grief that was coming up from the loss of my mom. And in, you know, as you have a good cry, you you reach this level of clarity on the other side that allowed me to like set intention and drop into a meditation. And my intention was to receive all answers to healing naturally and to come into full alignment. And during that meditation, a friend I hadn't talked to in over 2 years at the same time sent me a text and said, "Hey, I heard your back's in bad shape. Check out neurokinetic therapy, NKT, the work of David Weinstock." And this took me down a rabbit hole that connected so many dots for me, how everything's interconnected. And I got in touch with him. He set me up with his top student in San Diego at the time. I went in for my first session and was blown away by what happened next.
Wow. And I'm like, this is such a, you know, such, man, this is a story, brother. It's a beautiful thing because you never know what you're going to get, especially when you have a podcast. And it's just a beautiful thing. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate going into so much detail, man. And this is the type of things that people that listen to the show say, wow, like if Charles, you know, has been able to sort of come out of the forest, right, into the valley, why can't I? And different circumstances, different things, right? But continue. It's just very, very cool, man. As you reflect, I know people can reflect in their own stories on how they can self-heal, right, into their own, out of their own problems.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate, you know, because I walked into that session and my hips were over to the left. My upper body was to the right. You know, I looked like Shakira, like stuck in a mid-hip dance move. It was embarrassing. And that my body was representing how out of alignment I was with my purpose at that time. You know, here I was training clients and health coaching 10 clients a day, but going out on the weekends and overindulging in all the things. And something had to give. And that session was a game changer. She started testing muscle groups. She had me push my foot down to test the glutes and my butt muscles weren't firing. I was like, that's weird. And she said, yeah, try clenching your jaw now, and retested the glutes and all of a sudden they were firing. And I was like, wow, that's odd. So my body had just showed us that the neurological traffic jam was in my jaw, overcompensating for the big guns, my glutes and the hip muscles to stabilize my spine. So she puts on these gloves. She had a good sense of humor. She's like, I know we just met, but I'm going to have to go in your mouth. I said, what? So she starts massaging my jaw and releasing where I was overcompensating. And it was like really achy, super painful. But as soon as we did like a 2-minute release there, it was like all these, you know, neural pathways came back online and my glutes are firing again. So we found a couple other compensation patterns like this of muscles that weren't online. And all of a sudden I got off the table and I was like, whoa, I'm standing up straight. I felt like I gave her a big hug and I said, I'm coming back to see you every week. I'm taking all of David Weinstock's courses and ended up, you know, getting certified under him. Wow. And all his training courses and just gained this wealth of knowledge with NKT that allowed me to begin my practice and help other people have an option to surgeries or even post-ops begin to understand and improve their relationship with their body and their mind.
No, amazing, amazing, really amazing. And it's almost, you know, like a miracle, right? I mean, you come out of this session and being able to walk again and being yourself. You know, what would you say for people? Are there some exercises or things that people can do at home at all that they can maybe start feeling better right away before they go to a NKT session?
Yeah. So one of the greatest tools, you know, to self-healing and to, you know, making it through any challenge or pain is right under our nose. It's our breath, right? Because there's breath techniques we can use to calm our nervous system, even in the most stressful situations. And that allows us to access, you know, we're getting out of the mind problemville and into the intelligence within your body, your heart. And there we can access answers and insights. And so, you know, I offer a breath technique that's really great for calming the nervous system. And then I invite people to drop into three self-inquiry questions. Anytime you're getting hit with life's curveballs or feeling some uncomfortable emotions, you can ask yourself these three questions. And the first one is, how is this happening for me? And the key component there is for me, not to me.
Yeah, sure.
That takes you out of victim mode and brings some empowerment to the question. And you know that the quality of the questions we ask can greatly enhance our quality of life. And what we're doing is using your mind as a heat-seeking missile to seeking answers instead of going into negative default programs, which looks like the, I'm in bad shape. I better go on Google and self-diagnose. And then that just amplifies the worry and the fight or flight mode. And
we've all done that. We've all done that. Everybody, they're like, oh, that's been me.
Right. So there's another way. And this is just a beautiful place to begin anytime you're facing a challenge, because you can begin to see the gold in it and how it's happening for you. Second question is, what needs to change? And, you know, for me, at that time, it was like, wow, I need to cut out some things in my life that are weighing me back. Like, you know, I didn't have the best relationship with alcohol then. I was running on coffee. So I started cutting these things out that weren't serving me and taking space from those. And that helped me come back into alignment. That was my body's message for me. Like, hey, you're borderline adrenal fatigue and fight or flight a lot. And the alcohol is just a numbing, you know, coping mechanism that's allowing you to avoid stuff that wants to be addressed and healed and released from your system. Mm-hmm. So the third question is, what are the lessons to learn and the blessings to earn from this experience?
Ooh, I love that. I love that one.
And that's a big one, because it's one of my gifts is just helping people understand the lessons and the blessings in their challenges or their struggles. Mm-hmm. So that they can find and navigate a way through it with a little more ease and grace. And the opposite's when we, you know, choose to go into victim mode. Why is this happening to me? And this just like prolongs the suffering experience longer than necessary. And we keep resorting to the external pills or the what's in the fridge that I can stuff this with, or hop on Netflix or Instagram to seek dopamine. But none of that actually solves what wants to be released and healed from the system. Mm-hmm. So all this to say that this, all these pieces I gained on this healing journey, learning the hard way, of course, so that I could teach in your way, helped me develop an inner peace process. And it's the most beautiful way I've found to help guide people into a breath technique, calms the nervous system. We get into a meditative state and I guide them through a reparenting process. And what's cool about this is your body is so intelligent. It already knows like what stuck trapped emotions, energy wants to be released. It isn't in harmony anymore. It knows like what stories are still residing that aren't true anymore. And so through this process, it allows you to go back to some of the childhood traumas, some of the experiences that happened at a younger age, and you get the opportunity as your current self, knowing what you know, to reparent and provide that love, support, and safety that your younger version needed then, but didn't have it in that moment from their parents or their friends, whatnot. You get to be that for yourself in this experience. And this is potent because it frees, allows your body to finally metabolize, you know, energy, grief, fear, whatever emotions were trapped from that experience. And you can identify the limiting beliefs that were created. These are the decisions that we make about ourselves, right? Like when my mom left the first time, I was like, oh, this must be my fault. I had this like 4-year-old heroic you know, mission to try to keep my parents together. And that wasn't meant to be. So I felt like a failure. And so I kept seeing that showing up in my current experience, even as an adult, until I went to the source of this and got to reparent my younger self, then invite him out of that experience and into the present moment, where now I have my 4, 5, and 10-year-old online, and I have the genius and the, you know, imagination from those parts of me that are online now. And that allows a lot of energy to flow through. And then I channel that into a visioneering process. And this is a game changer too, because a lot of people don't really get clear on what they want.
Totally, 100%.
Like we're kind of bouncing around, like the bowling alley, you know, and with the kids, you put the pads on each side.
Pads on, yeah, yeah, 100%.
We're like bouncing off what we don't want, you know? Okay, yeah. I definitely don't want that. So then it's helping us get clear on what we do want. But this process is really fun to, you know, tap into a future version of a future experience where you get to create a very clear North Star where you're heading. And then as you're freeing up energy from this healing process, you can channel that energy into creating more than you're consuming, taking steps in that direction. And that's been a big key component with my work, and is really, you know, when the pandemic hit and everything, it was like so many people were looking externally, caught on these screens so much. It's one of the biggest addictions, you know, is screens and social media and all these things. So
100%.
Is it serving you? You know, you could check in with that. And if it's not, then maybe it's time that you step into that creator consciousness. And it could even be, you know, playing the guitar, an instrument, you know, or, you know, writing a book or a journal, or, you know, anything that's creative is going to put you on that path of purpose and your highest excitement. And the next step will reveal itself. So that visioneering process is a game changer. And it's amazing, because one thing that's different about my work than a lot of like therapists or, you know, other coaches and chiropractors is I don't need to see people like 2 days a week for 3 years, right? I have this dialed down to a very refined 8-week process where a lot of people are like releasing their addictions to smoking, to drinking, to, you know, social media and all these things, and developing a better relationship with that by using this inner peace process. They're accessing their natural state of inner peace on a more consistent basis. So they're making better decisions instead of that fight or flight mode. And that allows them to start creating more. And then you realize,
because they're in that inner peace sort of state, right? They're more at peace with it. They're more in the present. They're not as anxious, right? I mean, depressed, you name it.
Yeah. It's easier to make, you know, powerful decisions in your highest self when you're in that state, as opposed to, you know, when we're in fight or flight, we're like looking for quick out ways to avoid. And so even sitting with anxiety, you know, I've gained some just really powerful lessons and blessings from that, you know. And, you know, my personal path with that has helped others kind of reestablish that relationship, because anxiety is, you know, even that word has a charge to it. It's like this nails on a chalkboard, you know, it feels like a constrictive thing in our system. But if you call it what it is, if you rename it, reframe it, it's literally just energy. It's a lot of energy moving through your body. You can identify where. Sometimes it's in the headspace or in the gut. And so that energy is information, and that has some important information for you. So my personal experience with anxiety was like, I was avoiding it by all means necessary. And there was incongruence to the way I was showing up with people and what was actually going on internally. I was trying to hide this uncomfortable nervousness, and it kept getting worse and worse and would show up at like the worst times. So one day I tried something different and applied some of these self-healing tools I learned and used the breath technique, calmed my nervous system, and sat with the depths of anxiety. And it was like an old friend that had been knocking on the door really loud, trying to come in and tell me something important. Right. But I had just been ignoring that knock. Sure. And so finally it was like, you know, I can sit with this. And as it got really uncomfortable, so my mind's watching my body going like, get out of here. This is terrible. Go to the fridge, stuff it. you know, anything but this. And instead, I just noticed all those mind band-aids that just kept going by. And it was like, I'm going to sit with this energy and see what this has to share with me. And it was like inviting anxiety in for tea.
Have a sit down, talk with me. Let's see what's happening. What are you teaching me today? No, it's really amazing, man. Amazing. Let me ask you, 8-week program, so people can go from being in all this sort of, you know, whether it's addiction, whether it's drinking, you name it, to go into that inner peace self that's going to allow them to grow.
Yep.
Oh, and maybe become a better version of themselves, or maybe, you know, take their life to a place where they can actually achieve their fullest potential, God-given potential. If people, Charles, and then thank you, man, I really appreciate you being on the show. People want to work with you. They want to learn from you. They want to learn more about the program. Where can people find you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, charlesclay.coach. Go there. Charles Clay. And once you subscribe at the bottom, there's a free gift for you. This is a alignment activation. It's 22 minutes of guided movement, breath work, and meditation, a sequence that's great for good morning rituals. It's amazing for just reclaiming your full sovereign chi, your own life force energy, upgrading your energy so that when you create from that space, it's like your Batman signal just gets a lot brighter and it's more exciting, more fun. So that's a fun free gift to, especially anytime you're feeling stuck. It's a game changer. Go to charlesclay.coach, get that, try it out for yourself. And then those of you on Instagram, charlesclay.coach, same thing. You can find me there. Check out some of the content. There's tons of nuggets, and feel free to reach out if any of this resonates. You know, shoot me a DM and just say, you know, VIP show podcast. And I'm happy to share, you know, as long as there's space available, 15-minute free support call. And this is where we can identify where you're at, where you want to go, and what's been in the way, and see if it's in alignment to help you through that. And if, even if it's not with me, we have resources and a plethora of other people, you know, that are doing this work that can help. So if there's anything I can share, it's, you know, follow your intuition to those people that you feel called to reach out to, because, man, I wish I would have done that earlier on in life. You know, I chose kind of the hard path a lot of times along the way, and just thinking I had to do it all by myself. And we're all in this together. So whenever you get an intuitive hit, say yes to that and honor that. And every time you do, you're improving that relationship with your soul speaking to you. That's your intuition. That's right. And that's always on the path, like, of seeing what's beyond fear, right? Of seeing the gold. That's why I love this work, because this type of inner work allows for a lot of dreams to come true.
It's 100%.
In business, you know, just new levels of success in their relationships, finally being, you know, finding more peace and harmony and deeper intimacy, and even in health, of course, you know, healing so-called incurable diseases using these tools.
Amazing, man. Thank you, man. You were listening to the VIP show, everybody. I'm your host, Jose Estibuño. We just spoke with the great Charles Clay, man. He's really got a great method to find that inner peace that so many of us are still seeking, are still looking for. We appreciate you, brother. Really appreciate you coming on the show, okay?
Yeah, appreciate you too. Always a pleasure. Awesome, man.
Peace. Likewise, brother. Thanks a lot.